I'm going to call this podcast The Bad Annuity Sales Tale. Let me lay the foundation for you. I've been in this business since 1985, so I'm one of the older people that have actually seen some market corrections over my lifetime. Unlike those of you that have been in the business the last 10 years and have never seen a market correction, I've seen quite a few. But this really is not a story about the market. This is a story about bad annuity sales practices. And let me lay the foundation for you. I've had a client. He's been a client of mine for over 20 years. He retired about a year and a half ago. And he's been wanting current income. And I keep telling him that the only way to get current income more than what treasuries are yielding is to take additional risk. And he doesn't want to take the additional risk. So one day he calls me up and said, Franz, I've transferred all my money to this, well, and I'm not going to name the insurance company, to this insurance company, to XYZ insurance company, because they are promising me a 6% return on my money. And I said, listen, stop. Do not do that. There is no way that you can get a 6% yield on your money without taking huge risks. And he and I argued about it a little while over the phone. And I said, listen, I don't believe in magic. There is no way an annuity, an insurance company can buy magical investments that are going to yield you 6%. I said, it's just not possible. They have the same choice of investments that you do as an individual. With some exceptions, they might buy into some limited partnerships that you're not privy to, or some real estate deals that you're not privy to. But for the most part, they have to buy stocks and bonds just like you do in your account. I said, it is impossible without taking substantial risk with the principal of your portfolio in order to gain 6%. Well, we went back and forth and back and forth a little bit on the phone, and I said, listen, bring me the contract down and let me look at it and go over it with you. And he said, well, Franz, I don't have a contract. I said, what do you mean you don't have the contract? He said, well, this is what was told me over the phone. And he said, not only am I getting 6%, if the market goes up, I'm going to be getting more than 6%. And I said, hold on. If you're taking market risk, you're taking market risk. You can't have it both ways. And he kept insisting that this is what the salesman, the annuity salesman, had told him. And the sad part about this is the annuity salesman was one of his relatives. Well, I went back and forth and I said, listen, you need to see this in writing to see exactly what you're getting. And he said, well, oh, I can't see it until I sign this contract. And I said, when is the last time you signed a document without being able to read it? And he said, well, that's what they're telling me. I can't see the contract until I sign up for the annuity. Now, this is what he related to me. I can't imagine that anybody would demand that you sign a contract without actually knowing what you're getting before you sign that contract. But nonetheless, that's pretty much where the conversation ended. And I looked at his account and had pulled out all of the money he'd had with me, which I'd managed over the last 20 years and done a wonderful job on. And not only with me, with another insurance company, he pulled the money out of that, turned it all over to this third insurance company, and was going to be getting about $2,200 a month in monthly payments for this new annuity contract. I said, well, okay. Well, anyway, a few weeks goes by, and I'm actually out at my granddaughter's graduation for preschool. Isn't that ridiculous now? We're actually celebrating and having full-on events for preschool graduation. Well, not in my era did I ever do that, but I guess today we're doing that. Well, while I'm there at this preschool event, I get a call from him, and he calls me up and he says, well, Franz, I've bought this annuity and they're telling me that it does this and it does this, and I get 6% and it's giving me monthly income, which is what I need now that I'm retired. And I said, all right, you have the opportunity to back out of this if it doesn't meet with what your expectations are. I said, bring it down to my office and let's go over it. Well, I'm going to go over the actual annuity with you and explain how this was sold and what it actually was. He was promised a 6% return. Well, I went to this annuity's website, and right on the front page of their website, it says, payout rate includes interest, return of premium, and is not an interest rate. All right, there you go. So they're taking his money and giving it back to him and calling that a return. Well, what was the actual return? Well, we'll get into that a little farther on down in this podcast. But right there on the front page of this company's website, it says, rates are effective, and they actually quote the point, rates are effective 5/20/2019 and are subject to change at any time. Payout rate includes interest, return of premium, in other words, return of principal, and is not an interest rate. But yet it is sold as if it were an interest rate. So rates for annuities, when they quote you a 6% rate, the bulk of that rate is your own premium coming back to you. I give you $100,000. You give me back $6,000 one month. That $6,000 is mostly my money coming back to me. And that's what happened in this case. Be very careful. When you are selling annuities, make sure your client understands what the heck he's getting. They are very opaque because most informed investors, if they actually realize what they're getting with an annuity, would probably not buy the annuity. All right. He brought the annuity contract down to my office, and I've actually got it right in front of me. So I went through it with him line by line. Remember, he told me he was getting 6% and that it would grow in value if the stock market does well. Well, I've got the annuity contract in front of me, and let's go over it. Well, on the first page, actually the second page, because there's a cover page, it has in the fourth paragraph down the right to return the policy. Please examine this policy, and within 10 days or 30 days, if this is a replacement policy after delivery, you can return this policy to the company or the agent through whom it was purchased with a written request for a full refund of the single premium. Upon our receipt of this request, the policy will be void from the start, and we will refund the full single premium. Well, the interesting part on this is the policy date is April 22nd, 2019. He did not get this contract until after the policy date. So in other words, this letter was delivered to him, this contract was delivered to him after he had no longer had a right to cancel the policy. That's bad sales practices. All right, a little further down the page, it says single premium payable as shown on the policy data page. The single premium must be paid while the owner and the annuitant are living. In other words, there is no estate value to this annuity. This is a single premium life annuity. Well, not a life annuity, single premium period annuity where he or the annuitant, in this case his wife, needed to be alive in order to collect the annuity benefit. And remember that annuity benefit is getting most of his own money back. So on the second page, it says annuity income payment option. This is a single life annuity with 20 years and 0 month period certain. In other words, this annuity will pay out a maximum of 20 years, assuming he and his wife are still alive in 20 years, and they're elderly, so there's a good chance that they will not be alive in 20 years. In fact, a little later on in the policy, it states plainly, and this is on page, well, this is on about the fourth or fifth page, but actually it says page two at the bottom here. It says life expectancy on the policy date, and it gives his name, and it says they expect him to live 12 years and 11 months. So in other words, the insurance company does not expect to have to pay out this annuity for more than 12 years and 11 months, even though if he does live 20 years, it will continue to pay out for 20 years. And then it says a monthly payment of $2,665.61, payable while the annuitant is living or for 20 years and 10 months, whichever is later. So no estate value to this annuity. Nothing to pass on to the kids. If he keeled over tomorrow and his wife and he, or if his wife and he died in an accident, boom, the insurance company collects this money and they are happy. All right. So this client put in $496,000 into this annuity contract. When I actually looked at the contract, the cost of the annuity was $526,929.23. You may ask, why did I put in $496,000, yet the cost of the annuity was $526,929, a difference of $30,929.23. Why would that be? Well, guess what? Even though it doesn't say that, that is the commission that was paid for the sale of this annuity, $30,929.23. Nowhere in this annuity does it disclose what the sales commission paid to the salesman was. You had to discern that information by looking at how much he put into the annuity and what the cost of the annuity was. That is that $30,000 commission that was paid to the salesperson of this annuity. That is not disclosed in this annuity. You have to work the numbers to get that out of there. So after he got this annuity, he came down to my office. I said, let's go through this line by line. The cost of the annuity is $526,929.23. For that, he gets $2,665.61 per month for 20 years. So he's getting guaranteed annual payments of $31,987.32 per year. Over 20 years, that works out to be $639,746.40. So over that 20-year period of time, he would have earned $112,817.17 in interest or dividends or whatever you want to call it on this annuity. Well, if you average that out, that works out to be $5,640 per year, or an annualized interest rate on his initial cost of the annuity of 1.07%. Now remember, this annuity was sold as if he were getting a 6% return. His actual annualized interest rate, and this is not the compound interest rate, I admit it's not the compound interest rate, it's the annualized interest rate of 1.07%. Once I explained this to him, he felt a little bit deflated. And I said, listen, you did not get this contract until after the 10-day period had expired. Let's write a letter to the insurance company and send a copy of it to the state insurance commissioner and demand your money back. And that's just what he did. And the insurance company was caught between a rock and a hard spot. I'm sure that they're having discussions with the salespeople on this annuity, and they did give him back his money. All right, so he brought it down to me, put the money back in the account. We brought it down, and we put together a basket of dividend-paying stocks, and I explained to him that you're going to get a certain amount of money every month and understand that that's your principal coming back to you. And we did substantially better than this annuity contract, assuming the dividend stocks we are buying continue to pay dividends. Now, there's risk, and I explained this to him. I said, there is risk. If you want to not take any risk, the only thing we can buy is treasury bills or treasury bonds. By definition, direct treasuries are risk-free. I said, however, to get what you want, we may want to take some risk. All right, so I put together a spreadsheet for him, and I made some assumptions, and I can change the assumptions as I choose. So let's take that same amount of money the cost of the annuity, $526,000. Pull out the same $2,665.61 per month and assume that we're investing in treasury bills and we're able to get 2.2%. So every month we're taking a bit of principal out of his account. The value of his account is going down because he's taking $2,665 out per month, and at a 2% interest rate, he's only earning $959 the first month, and it starts to decline every time he pulls money out of that account with the monthly distribution. Well, using an assumed rate of 2.2%, which at this time I can get on treasury bills, there's no guarantee that that will remain the same. His money lasts him until he's over 97 years old, so 20 years. So we created an equivalent annuity without calling it an annuity by just investing in treasury bills. Now, he's not going to just invest in treasury bills. He's probably going to buy some dividend-paying stocks. And let's assume that we can average an interest rate of, let's say, 3%. Well, at 3%, his money doesn't run out until he is about 99 and a half years old. But remember, the annuity is assuming he's going to be dying in 12 years. So at 89 years old, which is probably pretty likely. My father died at 86. Well, if he dies at 86, there's still a value in this account that is distributed to his heirs of $287,000, assuming a 3% return. And if I change that to a 2.2% return, then that changes at when he is expected to die of $240,675. So he passes something on. Under the annuity contract, nothing is passed on. All right. If you are going to be selling annuities, make sure you educate your client as to what he is really getting, and don't follow the practices of this annuity salesman. All right. My mother was a school teacher, and she bought annuities her entire life, and they have served her well. But again, my mother's not very sophisticated in the area of finance. Try to educate your clients and make sure they understand what they're buying. If you are studying for the Series 7 exam, I have audio products to help you prepare for that exam. I have the Series 7 study guide for the new Top Off Series 7. They're available at the website, series7podcast.com. I also have study guides for the Series 63, which you will have to pass if you're going to work in the financial services industry and sell investment products to your customers. That's also available at the website. And also I have audio lessons for the Securities Industry's Essentials Exam, and they are available both at the SIEPodcast.com website and the Series 7 Podcast website, Series7Podcast.com. Also, since we've been talking about insurance products, I do have a series of audio lessons to help you prepare for the Life Health Insurance Exam, and I'm going to play that commercial right here. All right, that's the end of the lesson for today. Again, the full lesson and the full series of audio lessons is available at the website, Series7Podcast.com. This podcast on the Series 7 Top Off Study Guide, audio lessons for the new Series 7 exam, is brought to you by InsuranceExamPodcast.com. In addition to passing the Series 7 exam and the SIE exam, most likely you are going to be required to pass additional examinations in order to present your client with the investment choices most suitable for him. These additional examinations will include the Series 63 exam, and the Life Health Insurance exam. The insurance examination is an examination administered by the state in which you plan on selling insurance products. Insurance products can include variable annuities, fixed annuities, whole life insurance, and other insurance products. While each state has a slightly different insurance exam, there is uniformity to these exams, And the Life Health Insurance Exam can be studied in your spare time by listening to audio lessons. At insuranceexampodcast.com, they have a series of audio lessons, which is 12 hours in length, and consists of 26 audio lessons and 5 review lessons. Go to insuranceexampodcast.com and sign up to get 5 free lessons to start preparing for your insurance exam. Best of luck in your studies.